Everything comes down to the finish
isn't determined by, you know, how odd it is. It's got to be.
I feel like touching myself.
It's
got to be
consensus.
More than that. It's got to be an extreme.
Yeah.
Well,
mine is good.
Until it becomes a norm.
My only question out of all of this is: did the guy at least get the second half of his game? Did the guy at least get the second half of his game?
Not him, but everybody else.
They said they took him off the ship. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. On that tape, did she at least put the second half of the game on there?
Not that I know
of. That's why he went crazy. He never knew who won.
That was the reason.
That was the reason why he got mad. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Sure.
And now for the halftime show.
Actually, it was didn't make the spread.
I mean, that's what I think. It makes the fetish makes is a fetish because it's extreme.
I would agree with that, but as society moves forward,
I wouldn't say someone has leather fetish if they thought chicks in leather skirts were hot.
I agree with that.
Well, that's not a fetish.
Well, then what is your definition?
There is
then?
Such thing as a leather.
Yeah, there
fetish.
Is.
Yeah, but
when it's extreme,
right?
Yeah,
right. That's when it becomes a fetish. But once enough people are into it,
then they consider it
more instead of a fetish, a norm.
So you're saying if 90% of the population was in the leather by gimp suits, it wouldn't be a fetish?
Probably
it'd be normal.
No, it'd be normal.
I don't like that.
It'd be normal.
It's like this way right here.
Fetishes
would never happen.
It's like this way
right here. But your hypothetical isn't fair.
Hang on a minute. When did blue jeans become normal?
I don't know. There's a gimp suit pop out there.
But warmth and clothing is different than someone being sexually aroused
by
someone.
I don't get my rocks off.
No, I understand. But I think in context, it's a very specific sort of thing. You know, sexual intercourse.
Sure.
A specific sort of thing.
Sure.
And it's not like you say, oh man, you know, it's really cold outside. Let me go get my latex suit on. But
for some people.
The only, dude, I'd pay to see that. But the only.
It's really cold outside. Let me get my furry suit on.
But the only reason. The only real reason to get a latex suit is for. I mean, for what? I guess Marilyn Manson would wear one just to wear one for being freaky. I don't know. But there's still a fetish
that's
there.
A fetish, right.
Sex is weird.
Well, there's all kinds. Thank God.
Larry's still over here producing, making sure the levels are right or something.
Well, it's jacked up.
Is it jacked up? It seems okay to me. You want to pause it and start
It seems
over?
Okay to me in real life.
Yeah, in real life it sounds awesome. My ears are working.
Yeah, this white pattern looks better.
Okay.
It's not me.
Well, we should recall what position is the composition right now. We're probably going to do these every week.
Theoretically.
I think it has to do with ambient noises and
like the fans.
Like the fans.
Man. That can't help.
Because this is kind of like it's not picking up a lot of detail when I'm on that other setting.
Yeah. Well, this is lovely for the people listening at home.
Well, now it's becoming red and green again.
Are we recording yet?
He is.
Oh, okay.
It's flashing red and green, so.
Yeah, well, that means it's picking
that's
up.
That's good.
It's going good.
I think this just means it picks
it
up on half
red,
of the microphone.
That's when it's
ambient.
Topping out.
Now, is this the one you bought or?
It's the same.
Jules. That's Jules.
You did find that.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, wow.
Okay. In a weird, very weird
Where was
spot.
It?
It fell into a box.
A magic
yeah,
box.
But
that's lame.
But a specific
yeah,
box
I
is
something.
The funny thing about it.
Yeah. it fell in, like, I bought a case of packing tape. And it fell into that box, you know, under the tape.
Oh, okay.
And so I didn't find it until I was like, okay.
It's like a weird puzzle. I need some more tape.
Yeah. Riveting.
Oh, like Christmas
riveting
almost.
Riveting podcasting.
Riveting. Hey, I found the microphone.
It's not NPR.
I found the microphone in the box.
So what else? What's going on this week? What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about, I'm your host who prefers to stay anonymous. And with me today is...
Really? Why? I am Gomer, Irredeemable Gomer, here.
And I'm Adam.
Red Shirt Steve.
Of course, I'm Lawrence of America.
E3. And let's talk about E3. Let's talk about video games for a minute.
Yeah, Bridget would love to hear y'all talk about video games.
I didn't watch any of E3.
Well, that's typical of our conversation. You have nothing to freaking say. Yeah, the AC guy's here. Go do business.
For those of you who noticed that the fans are running in the background, our AC is bad.
It feels okay
so
in here.
Can you hear the heat in the store?
It feels okay.
I feel the heat from Garmin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. What happened with E3?
Okay. Well, let's talk about the three big publishers one at a time, and we can touch on some other games. Xbox had some okay stuff. My favorite Xbox was probably Horizon Zero Dawn, which looked just like a third-person sort of behind-the-shoulder, maybe a little further back, platformer, you know, explore the world, open world sort of thing.
Is it a shooter
It's a shooter, but it's like a walk-around, do-stuff game, you know, behind
role-playing, per se, but a shooter.
It did look like a role-playing game.
Okay.
But it had a weird element to it where it was like throwback, like... medieval times, sort of, right. Like barbarian sort of looking characters. Okay. But there was also like a metal robot sort of thing going on.
A mix.
Where they were sort of the robot metal sort of aspect of it was sort of taking over the lives of living creatures. And it had a lot going on.
Okay.
But it was one of my favorites of the whole show, really.
I didn't watch the Microsoft one. I don't have an Xbox, so it doesn't really...
Well, what was your favorite game, would you say, of the show? And then we'll talk on some other big ones.
Well, my favorite game of the show was the Zelda game.
Oh, my goodness.
Because, I mean, it's Zelda.
Breath of the Wind.
Yeah, Breath of the Wind.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It's beautiful.
Now, this is the biggest departure Zelda, in my opinion, has ever taken from their stuff. Usually, they're... While you can move around, it's pretty much a game on rails. Have to go where it tells you to go.
Every game,
go to this temple. Go to this temple.
Well, every game since the beginning has been an open world game, and the fact that you can walk around anywhere you want to.
Sure.
You just have to solve the temples in a certain order.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point.
With the exception of the.
Yeah.
Of. One just came out on the 3DS not too long ago.
Yeah.
Where you could do it in any order.
Okay. Okay, so that's an excellent point. I'm wrong. I'll take that back. But you can jump in this Zelda.
You can jump in all the Zeldas. You just have to do it in a weird way.
Is it going
to
be? Is it
in
be
the,
on the
in
Wii U?
The best Zeldas? You had to jump by just running off.
Pretty much. But now they've added a jump button.
Yeah, you can.
An innovation that has been around since the beginning of video games.
You can climb.
Wow. Okay.
They've taken away hearts. You now find stuff and build stuff with it. You can find items and cook with them.
Right. I did see the cooking video.
The cooking video looked cool. You can find and use a variety of different weapons, including different swords.
Nice.
And when Link uses these swords, his battle moves change.
See,
so he adapts to what size and what style of weapon he has.
Like you would in normal
life. So cool. Exactly.
This is what always amazes me about the Zelda series.
Yeah.
All you're talking about are innovations that have been around in the gaming world
for decades. They're just adding it to Zelda.
I'm just saying, they've been around for decades, but the fact that they're adding it to a Zelda game makes everybody super excited.
So
about it.
I wasn't excited about it.
But if you had said that for any other game, it would have been stuff like, well, But since it's a Zelda game we're talking about, it's a big deal.
It's because of the audience it appeals to.
I
agree. It's a very broad brushstroke. It'll hit everybody from age 4 to 44, it's such an exciting thing.
That's a good point. My favorite part of it was the ability to put an amiibo on there and have a little buddy who hangs out with you for 24 hours.
Gotta sell those amiibos.
Dude, well, I like amiibo. I think it's a cool little thing, even though Infinity is done now. You know, Disney squashed that.
I thought they were going to sell the rights, though.
No,
they actually did squash it.
Well, they own their rights. They had a third-party company doing it for them. Right, it was all their characters.
Right, no, I know that.
But yeah, they're not doing it.
They're not even going to do that.
Those amiibos are selling, and it's because of Japan, for the most part.
No, it's here, too.
Well, not as big, though.
No,
not as big, but they're still selling here.
So yeah, that was definitely a huge deal. And I think it is a departure in a lot of different aspects, man. You know?
Yeah.
The way you pick up items, you know, people drop items, it's a lot more like your traditional RPG. And you said a pretty, you know, brilliant thing saying, or Danny did about it appealing to a mass audience.
Well, Zelda's always appealed to
but
a
you
mass
have
audience.
I think in that context you have to wait for the mass audience to catch up.
I think the mass audience has caught up
definitely
about a decade ago.
Well, Nintendo's but lags behind.
It's only on
Nintendo's
the Wii U, though, right?
And here's the thing: is I'm not bashing Zelda. I'm just as excited about it as everybody else. I just think it's funny.
It is, but that's really the only game they showed off. They did show off a 20-minute trailer where they only showed off 2% of the entire world, They were on this. The character was on this big wall, and it was a sprawling world. So it looks like it's going to be really fun as far as, you know, exploring and stuff like that. But definitely not my favorite of the show by a long shot.
Well, what else was?
Dude,
well,
Watch Dogs 2 looked amazing. I love those kind of games, dude.
The first Watch Dogs was so underwhelming.
It was, but they said that they've addressed a lot of those problems. And Watch Dogs is such a cool idea.
Here's the thing is, I've realized in the last month that I'm just a really cynical, jaded bastard about everything. Like when Rebirth
especially
came out.
Especially games.
Well, especially games, and especially E3, because every time I watch E3, I just watch a bunch of old guys who don't know what they're talking about come out and, like, masturbate pretty much for, like, an hour.
I just want to see the
vids. About some games and try to look cool, and they don't, and then they lie about their video games.
E3 has changed since I've last watched it.
Dude, E3 is amazing now. They had talked
sure
about...
it's not like X3 or something?
They talked about Lego Star Wars Episode 7, right?
Right.
And there was a demo, but there was a demo available for it,
and it looked
right
like,
after the press conference.
And it looked like every other Lego Star Wars.
My kids
game
didn't go download the demo. And they're like you. They're jaded and cynical. Dude, if I would have been able to download stuff after E3, even a decade ago.
Like you were saying,
that's exciting. I'm not denying that technology is exciting, but the things that they're giving me is just more of the same crap. The only things that I'm excited for that come out of E3 were things that were different. Like, I was excited for Battlefield 1 because it's World War One.
That's awesome.
It looked awesome. And the
Battlefield
reason,
game in World War One.
And the reason why
it
it's awesome.
So cool.
The reason why it's
horses.
Awesome is because it's something different.
Yeah, well, they
it's something
did
different.
Use them.
Well, I'm just saying. They're including it. But what?
I would hope
I'm
so.
Just saying the reason why it looked so awesome is because it was something different. It was World War One sitting there.
What is that
we'd
ballerina dance looking, performance arts looking game? Do you see that?
I'm just. Let me finish this.
Oh, my bad,
quick.
My bad. It was a different game.
Well, it was a different game. Whereas at the same point, they showed Call of Duty Advanced Warfare at one point.
Infinite Warfare.
No, Infinite Warfare. I didn't give a fuck.
Dude, that was kind of different. They had space, weightlessness. It was looked
there
okay.
There was already weightlessness in a Call of Duty game.
Yeah.
They were already in space. It's more of the same. More of the same.
Well,
gray
you can't
tone.
Expect groundbreaking stuff every year.
Well, I think
but here's the thing
from
is
everybody.
There is, but here's the thing is though is that there is no groundbreaking stuff almost every year, and
well,
that's the problem.
What is that game?
Well, and you were saying earlier that Nintendo usually lags behind, but usually if there's some great innovation in
I was
gaming
saying,
technology, Nintendo is the first one.
Nintendo
to take
is
the
weird.
Risk.
They have a foot in the future and a foot in the past.
Yeah, in the context of them adding gameplay to games that seems to be prevalent on the major shooters that the hardcore gamers are playing, they're very slow in adopting those sorts of things because they want to make sure more people get it. They don't want it to be a hurdle for players to play. And that's what I meant in the context of that. Because there's a lot of stuff they're adding to the new Zelda that has, like you said, have been in games forever. You
I
know,
mean, yeah,
for a while.
If I want to do most of that stuff, I can go play The Witcher
Skyrim
3.
Or Witcher,
So, but it sounds like to me, for Adam, though, it's not so much that the innovations in there isn't there, it's just there's no really new
concepts. There's
games
no innovation
and,
in conceptual items and in the storylines. But there really hasn't been, if you boil everything down as low as it'll go, there hasn't been. But you're right. Watch Dogs 2 is really Watch Dogs 1 the way it should have been.
Yeah.
And the demo they showed off looked freaking awesome.
Well, so did the first one, but they lied about the first
one. No, the first one did not look good. I was like, look how stupid and dark it is in the demo. I always had apprehension about this. This was bright, and there were more characters moving around. Then on that one, all the characters moved at the same time in the same frame rate at the same sort of pacing. In this, one guard went one way, another went another way. It really felt a lot more.
Really
Jesus Christ walked in different directions.
Revolutions in gaming as far as the actual games.
Yeah.
You know, there really are few and far between.
AI is getting better.
You know,
When
virtual reality
when they
is getting
switch
better.
To 3D platforms.
We're going to talk about VR.
Okay,
and,
good.
You know, and like then when you got the open world gaming concept and the polygon to polygon collision mapping. I mean,
there's really.
I mean, so it's really hard to find that new thing. I mean,
I think
the next new big thing is going to be a further interaction.
I think the independent market and the stores on Xbox and PlayStation have proved anything, it's that you don't need to have all of these great advancements in the technology aspect to make a successful game. You can have an interesting story with a little bit of fun gameplay and do it. And in the same sense, you can add innovation immediately to a game and get it to the market immediately to see if the innovation is appealing as far as gameplay. Adam, sorry.
Well, as I grow older, I find that video games, I play them more for the story and for interesting ideas more than what I play for the mechanics. So,
Uncharted.
Well, yeah. Like Uncharted. That. Uncharted, the mechanics are very simple. Like,
Tomb Raider. It's been Tomb Raider forever.
Yeah, it's Tomb Raider. But I play it for the story and I play it for the characters.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, when things come out like a Call of Duty or something like that, I'm not interested in it because there's no story to it, and it's all mechanics, and I've played it before, and it's not going to be very much different.
Sure.
Which is why Battlefield 1, you know...
Well, and is that new mechanics, or is it new paint?
It's a new setting. It's something different.
Yeah.
Which is why I was super excited for Call of Duty 4 when it first came out, because it was a new setting from World War II.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
Saying, it's something different.
But I think it's per the player.
It is per the player.
Yeah. Because to a lot of people, they could say, well, no, it's Battlefield 2 with different paint.
Right.
And that's really what it is.
I mean, it's exactly what it is. But
one thing E3 happens every year is people get so worked up over all the video games and everything.
Yeah.
Did you see any other new technologies?
Well, definitely virtual reality is definitely coming home this year. By the end of this year, PlayStation 4 virtual reality will be
everything
out.
Is VR.
PSVR. $400. And there were some okay games. They showed off Infinite Warfare on it. There's a Batman VR.
I seen one VR. I don't know what system it's on or whatever, but there's a new Star Trek VR.
The Star Trek VR is great. I think it's PC and it is multiplayer.
Right.
And it's called Bridge Crew.
Yeah, that one.
And everybody plays a different member of the bridge, and you have to work together. As the captain points you to do shit, you got to do it. It looked very cool. Right. The video they had for it, it had LeVar Burton, Jordy LaForge, it had Carl Urban.
Jerry Ryan.
Jerry Ryan, 7 to 9 from Voyager.
One of the developers. Developers.
And it was very cool, but really it was cool just because LeVar Burton was using the Star Trek jargon. Right. The right way. So it was like, damn, I so want to do that, but maybe I just want to do it with Jordy. You know, so I couldn't really tell. But yeah, maybe I can because it's online.
Right.
Yeah,
Jerry would work on
709 really wasn't a bridge officer, but I digress.
I don't care, she's still hot.
But it looked really cool. But it looked like graphics from the 80s and 90s. Because they have to match frame rates so perfectly. You know, they have to match everything so perfectly if you're doing it for VR online. That it was a little bit off. So that's not there. There's a Star Wars VR coming. Yeah. So VR is definitely, you know, here to stay, man. So $400 is too big of an entry point, though.
It is too big of an entry point. And I still don't think we've reached the point yet where it's not just a bunch of gimmicky little games yet.
Well, 50 games but eventually, by the end of the year, VR on PlayStation.
By next year, though, we will be starting to get to the point where...
$100 is a large entry point, but Virtual Boy launched at $199.
And that was
in 96.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, people are going to choose. Should I buy a new 4K TV for my 4K-enabled console, or should I buy VR?
Now, is this going to be 4K-enabled the same way that it's...
The new Xbox.
Just downgrade it, then re-upgrade it. Yeah,
I have not read the specs on how PlayStation 4 deals with 4K, but Xbox One, the original one, does not do 4K. But they announced a new one with upgraded features, and they bragged about it having the most powerful graphics card ever put into a console.
Like Xbox One.
Here's the thing that really angered me was they came out with a new Xbox One, and they're coming out with a PlayStation Neo.
It's just a slimmer design, though. It's the same hardware, isn't it?
No, they're supposed to be. It's supposed to.
See, now that's weird hardware. Because Kaz Harai was on Twitter talking smack on the new Xbox. Like, oh, they had to come out with an Xbox well, 0.5 to keep up with us. Well, and it's like, screw you, Kaz. Of course
the
they did.
Is they just,
we're America.
They just came out with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, and you're already giving me another
they
console.
Promise 10-year cycles on these things. The next thing we will see is removable... You know, things right, where it'll just be a motherboard. Well, no, it'll be a motherboard with a processor, and you'll rip out a graphics card and throw in an upgrade. You'll rip out a hard drive and throw in an upgrade.
They already have that. They already have that. It's called the personal computer.
Exactly. And that is why Xbox, as Microsoft was pushing Windows 10 just as hard as they were pushing their Xbox products. As a matter of fact, any game you buy on Windows 10 or on Xbox One, you get a free copy of the other one. Which is great for them because it pushes people to their store, and it makes them attracted to their product overall.
I have a Windows 10 phone. I can play some of the mini games from the Xbox Store.
Well,
if I were to have an Xbox One, but I don't.
The new Tom Clancy game you can actually play on your tablet and be a member of the game and your aerial reconnaissance for the team who's actually playing online. So there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Oh, at a GameStop, I was talking with Corey, and he said that the just the rumor mill that Microsoft was talking about discontinuing the Xbox One and putting everything over to PC.
No, they'll never do that. There's way too much of a market right now.
That's just what the rumor mill was.
Well, and the thing about that is the Xbox is nothing more than a bona fide PC.
We're getting to the point now where console technology is they're
Xbox
basically
One
selling
is a Microsoft
PCs.
Windows PC in disguise.
It is. Yeah, so is the Dreamcast, though.
Yeah.
But and it's been that way for a while.
Right. Well, that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to combine your game console, your laptop computer, and your smartphone. And what I mean by combine it is...
Link them so they can work together.
Yeah, you'll just hook up your smartphone if you got the latest edition smartphone out, and it'll upgrade or, you know... Larry just said the word I'm looking
integrate.
For. Down. Well, it'll downgrade and upgrade because
okay,
it's
4K,
and your phone may be 4K, but the other stuff, but it'll still play, and it'll all interact
with
each other.
That's the way they did with, like, the PS2 and the PS3 being a Blu-ray player.
It did downscale, and
it
downscale reprocessed
and then
the video.
Did that. And I personally did test playing it on a PC.
You've bragged about this
a
lot.
I was like,
this great video stuff you did.
Well, wasn't the PS3 the best Blu-ray player out there?
No, it was the cheapest.
It was the
cheapest.
Okay, cheapest. Yeah, cheapest.
So,
and it was,
it
was a good Blu-ray player for the price when it launched.
It's that they lied to people when they did it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so I would be hesitant on believing any of their specs.
Well, I'm hesitant at believing anything coming out of the game industry.
It's hard to benchmark, man, because you have to benchmark it against their own games, which they themselves have benchmarked.
Well, and bear in mind, my brother had a PS3. I played it just a couple of times, but ever since the Xbox came out, I haven't played a PlayStation platform since then. I've only ever played Microsoft. And all I can say is, if that rumor mill actually turns out to be true and they're going to discontinue the console and just put everything over to PC, I'm probably going to wind up getting a PlayStation.
They'll make a new Xbox.
There's too much money in the Xbox, because the Xbox is guaranteed Microsoft money.
Yeah.
Whereas a PC is not.
It's irrelevant.
Guaranteed.
It's truly irrelevant, dude.
Well, it'll be like I said, it may be your game console, but it'll be your computer.
Hardware specs are truly irrelevant. We don't play a game because of good hardware. We play a game because of good software. It's the games that matter.
Your hardware's got to help your software, or your software's got to be your hardware's got to be compatible with your software.
Certainly.
For the visual effects.
Certainly.
And I believe, like Gomer said, you're going to be able to remove your graphics card, slapping a new
that'll
one.
That'll be eventually what they
awesome.
Do.
Yeah. That's what they ought to do.
And
exactly. Now, bear in mind, I've actually been toying with the idea of actually getting a PlayStation 4 simply for the fact that I want to maybe start playing some of the Japanese RPG games that are only available on the PlayStation. That's the only reason why.
And back to E3, man, because there were a lot better games. Ubisoft showed off that... Oh, no, it was Rare. Showed off the pirate game. What the hell was that? Sea of Thieves?
Game system, though?
I was not sure. I think it's Xbox because Rare is owned by Microsoft.
Rare is owned by Microsoft.
So it's going to be Xbox. But
or PC.
It's sort of like a massively multiplayer online game. And you have a crew of a ship.
Right.
Like a pirate ship.
Mm-hmm.
And you need your crew.
You need a crew
to help do all the stuff. Like if you can't do the anchor, you know, that little wheel for the anchor where everybody lifts the anchor by yourself. Well, I don't know what the hell it's called. But then there's also the sails, and it looked very, very interesting.
I hate to be the guy in the game who only raises and lowers the anchor.
Yeah.
They also revamped Skyrim.
Well, that's stupid.
They revamped it?
It's a high-definition version of a new game.
It's a high-definition.
Yeah. That's stupid. No, yeah, that's, who cares?
Yeah, I don't care about that.
For that's Xbox such, One and PS4.
Just so your 4K TV can handle it.
Talk to me when you come out with 6.
A new IP. Or a new IP, damn it. I'm sick of Fallout and Skyrim. Oh, dude, they're awesome. I'm not talking shit, but damn it. Give us something new. Give us a new IP.
I know Bridget wants more RPGs. Is what Bridget wants.
They showed off Final Fantasy 15. Is that what they're up to now?
Yeah,
but it looked great.
I played the demo for it. It looked great. The demo.
This is my crux. Final Fantasy 15. I'm getting that because I've always loved the Final Fantasy games. I've still had issues with. I'm not going to doubt that.
Yeah.
I'm giving this one a decent chance.
Yeah.
The main reason why is because I'm tired of playing Fallout and I'm tired of playing Skyrim because it takes too bloody long to get anywhere.
I haven't been a fan of Fallout. It's dystopia.
Yeah. I get that, but damn it, can't you at least give me a car or a motorcycle to get around? Do I have to hoof it everywhere I go?
You got fast travel.
Dang, that's a shitty reason to hate that game.
That is a shitty reason.
That's a shitty reason to hate that game. I have to walk.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what you're saying. But I haven't been a fan of Final Fantasy since they moved away, and they haven't really. It's still there. The turn-based fighting, man. I'm a huge fan of that old style from 7 and earlier, even 8 a little bit.
Yeah,
I was a huge fan.
It's also got to have a good story. And I'm sorry, but Final Fantasy 13 did not.
It was terrible.
Bridges' main problem with Final Fantasy, it was more cinematography than it was gameplay.
Well, I like that,
perfect.
Though.
Gameplay.
I like
that's
that.
Exactly but Bridges' is what I'm saying.
Well, that's the reason you play Final Fantasy, though. Since 6.
Okay.
It's been cinematics for the spells and the cutscenes. And 7 took it to a whole nother level, and they've been doing it ever since. That's part of the reason to play them.
But Bridget didn't like it.
Exactly. She should not play
those
games.
But what was the Final Fantasy?
Well, she doesn't those, but she's hoping for a war with... She doesn't mind some cinematography.
No, that's just the reason you get those. Man, wait till that next Hideo Kojima game, The Stranding.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let her
That's going to be all cinematography, dude. But it's going to be nothing cinema.
I'm surprised there's still games in his game.
Yeah.
Was it Final Fantasy 13 X2 where it was like 90% cinematography?
I couldn't even get to tell you. I don't play them.
But that's the reason they made an X2, because of the fans wanted the cinematography. All right, what else at E3?
I don't know.
Fee, whatever it's called. That looked cool.
The South Park game.
No, I've never been a fan of those South Park games. It's just an episode of South Park that you move the guys around.
I know, but I like Stick of Truth.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those.
Stick of Truth was more of a Final Fantasy game than the last Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
That's bad to say.
I didn't mind walking around in that one.
Yeah. What the hell else was there? I didn't hear anything else from Nintendo besides the Zelda game.
Yeah, well, that was their big thing. Nintendo usually comes
Sonic
out with one or two big things.
Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, no racers, nothing like that?
Nothing on Nintendo.
Mario Kart or anything?
No. I didn't hear anything else.
See, I don't even play any of those games, but I know them.
I love all those games. I play all those games, but no.
Bridges the video game and in the house, not me.
So, yeah, I guess that's it then.
Any good besides the Star Wars Legos? Is there anything else coming out in that genre?
Well, there's a new Battlefront.
No, Legos. Because Bridges likes Legos.
Well, yeah, they have World of Lego, and they're going to continue to add to it.
I never heard of that.
World of Lego is everything all in the same game.
Oh, it is.
You can be Han Solo.
It's like they're Skylanders or Disney Infinity.
Okay. Yeah. It's everybody in the same game. And it's pretty cool. It's fun. My kids, not anymore.
I was say, Bridges got the Legos.
Out with a new console or a new upgraded version.
Anybody.
You know, like the Scorpio or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the name of the
new Xbox One.
You know, if it's still an Xbox One and you can still play Xbox One games, it's not that. I mean, that was the big deal that I thought was bad when they forced everybody. They're like,
but
Nintendo was always real good with that.
Backward compatibility.
And so the portable systems have been real good with that.
The continuity
of video. I think that keeps a lot of playability and a lot of value. And also, when launching a new console, if it's backwards compatible with all the titles you have now, only it'll play them faster and better and less lag time.
Yeah.
You know, that's
even
a good
better.
Deal.
Yeah.
My only problem with that is that, say, I just bought an Xbox One. And now all of a sudden you're telling me, hey,
there's a brand new, better Xbox One. Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, what the fuck, I just wasted my money on this one.
That's always going to happen, though.
But not when they promise a 10-year life
cycle
for the console.
Not when they promise a 10-year life cycle.
And that's what he's getting at in the context of backward compatibility. Sure, the new Xbox model, the new advanced one, plays those old games. But you promised me a 10-year life cycle on these games. And yeah, I can play your new games on my old Xbox, but not the way you want me to.
And that's the way I want to.
And the way I want to. That's what he's talking about.
I have to go through the hassle of taking this one back now.
Okay, so...
Or trade it in.
Yeah.
Or trade it in for... Yeah, I hate that shit. That's not cool.
What game...
That's not cool.
...were you playing in 06?
Oh.
It doesn't... What do you mean? Okay, go ahead. I'll just name a game.
Backwards compatibility is not, it's not the problem here.
The problem is
you promised me a
10-year
life cycle. No, it's the problem is you promised me that this will be the thing
for
10 years. And now...
It's not.
2 years into it... You're telling me this is not the thing.
Just because PlayStation is better.
Telling me that a game console is going to last for 10 years, you should have heard that.
No,
and
not last.
Okay, be the thing for 10 years, all right?
But have a
you should have heard that and thought, okay, that's the equivalent of you telling me this shit is going to last 10 years,
no,
and I'm going to be stuck on the John for 10
years. That's not what he's saying. That's not what I'm saying. What he's saying is, you said a lifestyle of a console is from when we start making games for it, from when we stop making games for it.
And bring out the
new
console.
He said his Xbox One will be the best thing to play all of these games that will come out in this 10-year period.
Well, and here's
But now it's not so anymore. There's something better to play all those games on now. And
it
that's
would be
bullshit.
So antiquated.
It's not a PlayStation 5. This is an Xbox 1.1, and it's stupid. And I agree with it. It's not stupid. I'm going to get one because I don't have an Xbox One yet. But I understand his beef.
And well, I mean, and it's going to, if they didn't, you know, in 8 more years,
yeah,
the technology would so far beyond it.
That's a different conversation, though.
My point is, that's a stupid promise.
No, it's not, because they could have the Xbox, the next Xbox, come out 5 years after the Xbox One.
And that's fine.
And he'd be cool.
I'd be cool with that.
They kept their promise that we're going to continue to make games for your Xbox One. And that will be for 10 years. And that will be the best platform to play those games on.
The developer, they have no control of it.
Well, they own developers, though. Both of them. Both of the major two own them. Well,
it's the developers that decide.
What Adam is saying is like Gomer said, you gave me the Xbox One. Don't upgrade the Xbox One in 2 or 3 years.
It's been two years.
I'm just saying.
You should have known it was a 2 year cycle.
I should have known it's been a two year cycle because the last two game cycles both lasted a decade.
There's a trend and a promise made.
This is because those are fucking computers. Computers last 2 years.
Those are computers.
Period.
But the PlayStation 2 was around for a decade. The PlayStation 3 has been around for almost a decade.
And they're still making games for PlayStation 3.
Yes.
There were games at E3 announced.
And so now you're giving me a PlayStation 4, which is supposed to be the bee's knees, but that's only going to last 2 years?
Well, that's not fair.
I'm not saying it isn't fair. I'm just saying it's the way the technology works.
And it's okay if they do come out with another console in 5 to 7 years before the 10-year life cycle is over.
Xbox,
I'm cool with
that's
that.
Fine.
Well,
yeah,
here's
that's
the
cool.
thing. On the Xbox 360, they still make games
for
the Xbox 360.
Yeah, and the
most of the new games coming out, as far as I know, are also Xbox 360.
If they
keep doing that for at least 5 years,
and they do for a lot of games,
right.
They still make Madden and all those soccer and hockey games. That is an example of when they keep a longer life cycle.
I'm just saying, don't lie to me.
I'm not saying you don't have a fair argument.
You're just saying you shouldn't be mad because they should have never made the promise that was a stupid idea to begin with.
Because they should have known that they weren't going to be able to keep that.
Yeah.
You should have known they wouldn't been able to keep that. You should have never believed that.
And, well, I didn't believe that. I mean, I didn't believe that.
Then why
that
are you so upset?
No.
And I disagree with you as far as console gaming and that life cycle. Because in my opinion, when you have a console that is out, and by the time you get to year 7, you know, hold on.
Stopped being consoles.
They well, whatever.
No, they are still consoles.
But
they might. They might be computers.
They are computers
in actuality, but they are consoles.
Exactly. I'm calling
it a
console.
But they're not treated like consoles.
They're
not
treated
like consoles.
A console is a computer that the user is not able to change components. That is a console. You can buy console computers. This is technically a partly console computer. You can change the hard drive and the RAM. You can't change anything else. I'm just saying. But what I was going to say is, as far as developing games go, the console life cycle is important because it forces developers to get the most out of the hardware. And when they get the most out of the last generation's hardware, they're able to apply what they did to get the most out of that hardware to the next generation. And that makes the next developing generation even that much better. And that's the evolution of software. That's
but
how it works.
That's not the way they do it.
It has been the way they've
that
done
is,
it.
That is the way they've done it for the last two decades.
Yeah. PlayStation 3, you're right, though. It is changing. And, we have example of it changing. And I'm mad that it's changing. And that is another example
the game development community handles it is the same way they've handled PC games for years.
Well, that's
they
because
put
hardware
it out as fast as they can.
But hardware is
and
better.
Then they force you to download a patch. The soon as...
Yeah.
As soon as you bought games that were not on the disc, that is when the true game console died.
Here's the difference between PC and the console thing, though, is PC, it happens gradually over time that they change this technology.
They're constantly evolving.
So,
but on the user
end. So eventually it will get to a point that, yeah, I'll need to get a new graphics card. But by the time that comes around, I mean...
You want a new computer anyway.
Yeah. And there's still a life cycle.
And there's still a life cycle. And by the time I will have gradually made the change.
Yeah.
As the technology is changing.
Like they will.
As long as we are demanding cutting edge games,
well, I'm
we
just
gotta
saying,
have cutting edge
whereas
technology.
With the console, you can't gradually change with it. You have to fully change with it as it changes because you cannot change your parts out.
Exactly.
And so if you're selling me this package deal and saying that this is going to be your console for 10 years, then you cannot come out 2 years later and say, no, this is now
well,
the
in,
thing.
But in that context, they can, because that software that will come out for the new advanced platform still works on the old platform, just not as well.
It does.
But what Larry
is
saying about graphics
marketing.
Cards, what Larry is saying, like, they come out with a new graphics card, all right, we got to make sure that this game runs at the highest quality on this graphics card, and that's not true. What they need to do is make sure that their game runs, yes, at a high level, but it needs to be able to be played by a broad audience. And you can't sell that to a broad audience. You have to buy a $1,000 graphics card to play your game.
PCs. The people that are out there buying the most games as soon as they come out are the hardcore PC gamers.
Well, and I'm not saying that's not true, but there is a breaking point, and there's not going to be a hardcore gamer who's like, okay, I have to buy a new graphics card every year. It just doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? But you're still saying that, and I agree with you, that there is
a
life...
I do know people that buy a new graphics card every year.
But there is a life... There is a life cycle established.
And that niche is the time people actually shell out money, not BitTorrent it or download it illegally.
You can't BitTorrent games anymore.
Sure.
Well,
but you're right. But it's still going to get to the point to where the next consoles that do come out, I believe... May possibly like y'all were
they'll
talking
have
about.
To.
You'll be able to switch out the graphics.
It's more profitable
to
develop for PCs than it is consoles.
Sure.
So,
but there's more console gamers than PC gamers.
Not really.
No. Now if you take around
still,
the globe,
there is still more console gamers.
And you
gamers
than just
PC.
Xbox
PC
and
is
PlayStation.
Growing,
just Xbox and PlayStation. It's minute
if
compared to the console
games. Because I don't know enough about video games and all that. If with a
especially
PC,
on the hardcore level,
can you when they make the PC to where you can use an Xbox controller?
They have that already.
Yeah,
that's,
okay,
you can do that
it.
Right now. I do that now.
I actually had it
Years ago. On the first Xbox.
Oh, okay. I have a USB plug and play for a Super Nintendo.
So why not? So more than likely, maybe the next version of the Xbox, whatever they're going to call it, will actually be a PC.
It's always called the next box.
Well, whatever.
Go ahead, but it's going to be what?
It'll be a PC.
Where the user will be able to just rip it out and shove one back in.
They will make it.
It'll be a PC console.
Yeah, like they would. You'll basically do something where there would be a flap at the back or something. Right. A few screws you take off.
There were consoles like that. The Dreamcast had that.
Cartridges.
The GameCube had that. Remember, it had the bottom you could rip shit out. The Dreamcast
was the first online. It was the one that heralded the end of the true game console.
Yes,
so it was way above its time.
It ran off Windows. It was a Windows
one of the longest lasting versions of Windows because it's still used in business handhelds and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know,
but,
I mean,
there's still people who play Phantasy Star Online on their Dreamcast. Yeah, there's a huge market for it still to this day.
The GameCube, in my opinion,
the greatest controller ever made for a game.
It had an auxiliary slot for attachments for
everything.
For modems and GBA and stuff like that. Yeah. It wasn't the same as a Dreamcast. Yeah.
But even back in the day, the Game Boy had a lot of those peripheral attachments that you could add that changed it completely. And yeah, I think that's where we're going. And I think Nintendo ushered that in with the motion control and Kinect now doing everything for you.
It'll be one entertainment system like they were supposed to be.
It's how it is now.
Yeah, the Wii was the first good example of tablet and console integration.
Sure.
And Microsoft, with the Surface software, they should be all over that.
And it is. You can integrate Surface now into your Xbox. The Xbox has the pass-through HDMI where you can hook your cable box or even a PC into it. And you'll be able to take your screen off of it and take it with you. Well, you can toss screen now between Surface and Xbox.
That's what I'm saying.
Just by hitting a button, the screen on your tablet will jump up on the Xbox browser.
You'll have your phone on your watch and your tablet or game system tablet.
Welcome to the future.
No, it's weird you mentioned the phone on your watch because most people stopped wearing a watch because their watch got on their phone.
Well, so the watch is slowly coming back because the phone's on the watch.
Apple made both the possibility, really.
Well, they sold both.
They didn't make them a possibility.
They marketed it better than ever.
I'll give you that.
There you go.
But I don't know anything else at E3, man. Nothing really jumped out at me.
So they didn't announce cool new TVs. Nothing with curved glass. Anything like that. I didn't get any of that.
They don't have.
All you watched was the gaming stuff.
All I watched was the gaming stuff. But VR is huge. That's the biggest news. VR is here. It's here to stay. And by the end of the year, I think you'll see people walking around. No, wearing that VR and shit. You know,
and getting hurt.
It's augmented reality. Where they have a camera on it, and it'll be augmented.
They have that now, though.
But they don't have it where you're wearing your phone as goggles. And that's what you'll do.
But I literally saw that idiot right there, Fox, wearing his phone on his face like 2 months ago.
But you were watching TV, though.
No, it was augmented reality.
It wasn't augmented reality.
Yes. He could see, but I mean...
Dude, that's the shit.
He looked like a total idiot, but I have to give you, it was pretty cool.
I'd be wearing that right now if I had it. What are you doing? You'll never know.
Can you drive with it?
Well, you might be able to drive better with it.
Really?
Well, it'll have a rear view that's more clear. You won't have to turn your head with that, with his,
there was like a half a second lag.
Oh, well, duh. That'd be a huge problem.
Especially while driving.
Yeah. You'll hit somebody and then you'll hit the brakes.
Everybody will be at half a second lag, so we'll even out.
That's a good point. If everybody's at half a second lag, we'll be fine. What else happened this week? You want to talk comics or something else before we?
Well, it's been a good comic week as far as DC's concerned.
Again,
you know?
They're in a good month. They're going to have an awesome quarter. They're going to own the summer despite Civil War 2.
man, Civil War has been tanking as far as sales go.
Really? Yeah. I can see why.
Too early?
I don't mind the event as it's on its own, but it's certainly the last event I can remember where I wasn't excited about any of the time.
Well, okay.
None of them. I could care less. But the main
Civil
event
War
itself
won.
Is okay.
Versus DC Rebirth.
I bought everything Civil War 1. I have every single tie-in. And I even have the ceasefire.
Now,
where Black Panther got hitched to Storm.
I'm sorry. Okay.
I have the variant. It's worth $80.
Sure. Let me rephrase this. Civil War 2 number 1.
I'll give you a shiny nickel.
Has been outsold by DC Rebirth 4-1.
So Civil War 2 is still selling better than Rebirth?
No, Rebirth is outselling it 4 copies to 1 here.
Per series or altogether?
Altogether.
Okay.
Okay, well,
I can
that's
see
different.
That. Yeah. Especially because Rebirth is a just, huge sort of mega.
It's a new Rebirth.
Yeah. Lots to talk
versus
about.
Versus that, I mean, just the one issue there. Well, we sold like 20 copies of Civil War number
2.
To
wow.
Civil War 2 number 1. I sold 90 plus copies of DC Universe Rebirth.
Well, sure. But there were 6 different books, right?
No, that one book, DC Universe Rebirth.
That's different.
That is different.
That's different, too. Well, that book was 86 pages and 3 bucks. You'd be stupid not to get it. Marvel's was, what, 40 pages and 5 bucks?
Yeah.
So,
6
no.
bucks.
6 bucks.
6 bucks, was
this,
it?
This
I need to return
bucks.
That.
Civil War 2 is 5
I need
bucks.
To bring that back, because it was not worth 6 bucks.
It was
you
not.
Have an exchange policy? Can I buy 2 Green Arrows for that? Because the Green Arrow.
No.
But once awesome. Again, with
should have been on your
it's
list, because we sold out.
I know.
That's why.
I didn't tell you the story about that. Now, this is going to sound really weird, and don't hate on me for this, Larry. But this is what happened, and hopefully it'll build to a larger audience in the future. Last week, I was unable to purchase several DC Rebirth books because, A, they were not on my list, and, B, they sold out. They're just very popular. No harm, no foul, it happens. I wanted to read them, so I did the unthinkable, and I went and got them off Comicology. I had never done this before. I had never bought digital books before. But I did it. I read them. Okay.
I'm sorry, there's something wrong with the mic.
So my son has access to my Amazon account because he uses it to watch Prime. No. He's very good at buying. He doesn't buy anything. He knows that he'll be banned from Prime if that happens, and he enjoys watching anime they have on there. So he heard that. He knows Comicology is linked with Amazon Prime. He was able to log in with all those credentials that he's got saved on his computer. And read all the Rebirth comics. Came in and said, so there's 2 Green Lanterns in that book? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, because he had known it. So that was a good thing. I have 5,000 plus paper comics in my house. Most of them bought from here, too, by the way, Larry. So don't get sad. So he won't read any of them. But these digital comics, he'll snap right into him and read them. So hopefully, if I can get him to read comics on a regular basis, I can get him to start getting paper comics. And then doing shit in here.
Then you'll be paying for paper comics for him.
That's okay.
And you get to read them.
Yeah, but I get to read them too, so yeah.
It gives you an excuse to spend more on comics.
Exactly. Like, no, you really want to read this. Yeah, you really want to read
but
this book.
But I don't
book.
Like that character. Yeah, you do. Shut
yeah, you
up.
Do. Shut up.
We'll tell you
don't tell your mom
he's
that.
Your favorite now. Yeah. No, they don't tell mom anything. But they learn that quick. They learn that quick. So that was my experience with Rebirth.
So
I'm going to continue to purchase them digitally so he can enjoy them and hopefully migrate over to the...
Now, are you still excited about it?
Rebirth?
Yeah.
Yes. I read the first 2 pages of Batman today while I was at work because I couldn't do any more, and it was great. I liked the new tone. I enjoyed the pacing. Everything felt good about it. But yeah, it's 2 pages. Look how much shit's happening later on. So yeah, I'm really excited to read it. I'm stoked. I bought my wife an Amazon Fire tablet.
Because of this?
Well, not really, but it kind of goes in.
You had an ulterior motive.
Ulterior motive, yeah. They're $40 this week.
They're still.
For a Fire tablet, 7-inch Fire. $40. It's almost stupid. Now, I almost bought 3 of them. I was like, I need to get everyone.
3 to 1.
Yeah.
3
tablet. And you get a tablet. King. But for $40 and off this week, Amazon.com.
Cool.
Check it out. And if you want to buy one, go to OutrightGeekery.com first. Click on the Amazon affiliate button. the link. And then, don't roll your eyes, and then buy your Amazon Kindle to read your digital comics that you're not buying up here.
Anytime you go on to Amazon.com, yeah. Go through Geeks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so what's next? We've talked a little bit about DC.
I'm enjoying
it. And nobody ragged.
You're still talking great so far.
Fine.
Last week,
The
Flash was amazing.
The Flash was amazing.
We have
so good.
Order months in advance, and they're still sticking with. They are still showing confidence, even, you know.
What do you mean?
DC still showing confidence and allowing full returnability on, like, issue 5 and 6.
Well, that's only 3 months, though.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still
great
for him.
I didn't expect this to last past the first month of them offering.
Well, they're putting their money where their mouth is. They want to make sure people can get copies.
So far,
that's a big deal.
They know if they can get copy in the hands of the readers will read it because I'm reading Superman.
Are you going to return any of the copies that you've gotten so far?
I don't have any.
Exactly.
So that's great.
I'm reading Superman, and I've heard wonderful things about this Superman issue. Wonderful things.
Like, okay, well, that was my Batman issue. Don't touch it.
Sorry, Tom King.
I've went from ordering 20 and 30
the colors on there?
Of DC books to ordering hundreds.
She's hit the big time.
It's crazy.
I love her. She's the hardest working girl in comics, dude. Jordi Belair.
Oh, yeah.
She's doing like 15 books a month coloring.
Jesus.
She's the hardest working girl in comics. Hands down, no argument.
I'm going to say phrasing on that point.
She's a hard worker. Dude, I read an interview on her in the last Image Previews book they had. She was living in a cardboard box in a kitchen, but it was still in a cardboard box.
Why was she living in a cardboard box?
Because that's all she could afford is a section of a kitchen in somebody's house.
Jeez.
That's all she could afford.
And now I want to know who the asshole was who...
That rented the cardboard box
in a kitchen.
It was in New York, so I'm sure there's a bunch of people
actually, that's actually very common in New York.
So as she was trying to make
and
it.
And now where she's at.
Well, yeah, she's working her ass off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and getting a lot of recognition. She's my favorite colorist, man. Woe Jordy. Go at Woe Jordy on
it. That is an ugly atrocity.
Don't waste it on me. It looked okay. I didn't see his face.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Ugly.
Did you see... let's talk about video games and comic books, DC Comics. Injustice 2 was announced. Mm-hmm. And Injustice 1 was, you know...
The video game.
Mm-hmm. They showed all of the finishing moves that they have so far for these guys. They all look amazing. Batman's is... He straps you to, like, this balloon, and the balloon goes off in the air. Mm. And then the Batplane comes and picks you up and takes you and launches you around, shoots the shit out of you.
Funny. The last one was the Batmobile.
The Batmobile coming. I didn't like that one because Batman did, like, this weird flip over the Batmobile. It was weird.
You don't like backflips?
I didn't like the backflip.
Oh, okay.
But, man, there's so many, and those are the cinematics.
I'm sorry, Batman's backflip is what
Batman's
took
backflip
out of,
took me right
okay
out of the game.
Out of the
okay
game where Batman
fist
fights with Superman.
Finishing move cinematic is okay, but like I said, Bridget, it was too much.
Yeah, it is.
A short
one. Dude, I remember Final Fantasy VII. You could hit the buttons and do all your moves for your characters, leave the room, go make a sandwich, and come back, and then do your turn, eat your sandwich, do all of them, you know. Go hang out, do something else, and then you could.
Yeah,
that's. I think Final Fantasy VII is what eventually destroyed my PlayStation 2 because I would just leave it on. You know, I don't want to save it. I'll just pause it. Then I stick it toward it up. What else, Larry?
What else with DC?
I got a new comic thing. There's a new Tales from the Dark Side book that came out this week. Joe Hill is the writer on it. He's Lock and Key guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a standalone one shot. The next. Story is going to be a 1 and 2 book. 1 and 2, you know, the issue 2 and 3 are going to be another story.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what he's doing there with these little short sort of,
right,
you know, stories, getting to the point, getting everything out there, right, and he's doing it really well.
Good.
Get this book, it's awesome. Great little horror book. We'll talk more about that on Friday's podcast, the review show.
Excellent.
But yeah, I didn't get Vote Loki. I guess I should have gotten Vote Loki.
I got the first issue.
Yeah.
I'm willing to try it. I hope it'll be as funny as Sam Humphrey's book,
Citizen
Jack.
Yeah, that's a great
book. That is a great book.
Citizen Jack is so fun. Very timely, too.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I think Vote Loki's going to be a little bit more low-key.
Probably.
There's definitely not going to be, like, a demon in there.
No.
A whimsical demon who plays
tricks.
Well,
there could be. I mean,
it is Loki.
It's
Loki. It could be anything in it, so.
Yeah. But, yeah.
What are you looking at?
I was just looking to see if they announced any of the origin stuff. on the subject of games, board games, yeah, of course, Origins is going on.
Sure.
Right now.
Yes.
Yeah, so. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of new board games coming out here soon.
Yeah.
You know, they always, it's another one, they always spoil a bunch of big stuff.
Sure. The last board game purchase my family made and played, Puerto Rico. Not bad. The 10-year-old had a little bit of trouble with the strategy.
Yeah.
He saw one thing to do and was like, I'm going to keep doing that. And I was like, no, dude, but if you do this, then this, somebody else will do this, and then you'll be able to do this.
Shut up, Dad. I got this.
He just didn't quite get it. But I think if we play a few more times,
sure. Right.
Man, my 15-year-old got it. He's like, oh, Dad, you don't want to do that. You know, I'm going to do this. Trying to play me. So, yeah, we had fun.
But did he play you?
No, because he was right. You know, because the way you do that, everybody picks a job. And when you pick a job, everybody gets to do the job,
but you get a bonus for
you
being
the
one.
You get one special bonus. Right. So because everybody gets to do that job, you got to look. It's like, man, if he gets to do that job, he's going to have 10 victory points on me because he'll be able to pick that job next, and that'll get him his points. Very fun game. Very deep. I can see it. You have to plan. It's almost like a chess where you should plan ahead.
Right.
And I love Puerto Rico.
And you have to be like, man, I bet she's going to do this. So maybe if I do this, she'll pick that role, and then I'll be able to make my points there.
If you are looking for a step down, check out Race for the Galaxy.
Okay, that was also on our list.
Because Race for the Galaxy was being designed as Puerto Rico the card game.
Okay. Oh.
But they were also designing, another designer was designing Puerto Rico the card game, and he finished his first.
Oh, awesome.
So that became San Juan.
That's how they created Devil May Cry. And it is. That's how Devil May Cry
so
the game
they,
came
they,
about.
Because they went ahead and reskinned it and set it in space and spent another year or so in development, and that's where you got Race for the Galaxy, and it plays a lot. You play on your board. Well, yeah, you have these cards, these roll cards, and everybody puts one face down. And like that, everybody gets to do it.
Yes.
You get the bonus for doing it.
Okay.
And you know, you all reveal them at the same time. And,
yeah.
And so instead of having the big buildings in the city of San Juan like you do on the board, you have big developments you can play, but your currency is the cards in your hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know,
that's
so
cool. That's cool.
And but it plays a lot of the strategies. You know, you've got to have big buildings and develop a strategy around those buildings.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, just like, so you have the
big factories or whatever.
Right. Yeah, so you have the big developments that you play, you know, and develop strategies around that. And the first to play 12 cards causes the end of the game.
Yeah.
They don't win because they add up everybody's points at the end, but that's the last round.
Yeah, Puerto Rico kind of ends the kind of like
so,
that.
So, and it plays a lot faster as far as it's a shorter game, but the strategy's a little simpler. Might be a little easier for the young ones, but
he caught on. He just wasn't looking deeper into it, but he's done that before, like on Ticket to Ride. He's been able to pick out strategy and be able to
right,
and that's what I want to teach
you. It's also because you can say, it's real. If you know one or the other, it's real easy to teach one if you teach the other.
There were a couple other ones on our list. Small World was on our list. I'm seeing it over
that's
there.
That's good.
But that was, it felt almost too competitive, my wife said. It's like, we don't want the boys shitting on each other during a game.
And
you know?
Really, if you're playing Puerto Rico, Small World, I mean, it's fun, but it's definitely a lighter strategy level.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
that's going to be my next one thing. Or that Power Grid.
If you were to,
you brag on Power Grid all the time.
That is right now my current favorite board game.
Yeah.
What is Power Grid?
Power Grid is you have to connect cities
with
power.
It's an economic game.
But you auction on the different kinds of power.
Sure.
But when you do, like, the next power becomes available. So buying stuff makes it easier for your opponents to buy better stuff.
Right.
And it's got a lot of strategy.
So you have this deck of power plants that have various efficiencies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
I looked really hard.
Only
into
the
that.
Three worst ones are available at any given time till the end of the game.
Wow.
And so you only have, if you pass on your chance to bid on something, you're out.
Yeah.
You know, until the next. So you're juggling that, and then there's resource management and the fact that resources are finite, and the less they are, the more expensive they are.
Sure.
But your storage space is finite.
But some of the resources are free and all the time, though, right?
Well, if it's like wind, no.
Like with the wind.
There is. You get, if you buy the right power plants, yeah, they'll always produce
electricity,
so much electricity,
but not as much.
But you're limited in the number of power plants you can have.
Yeah.
And of course, the better they are, the more expensive they are. And it's one of the few games where,
you can be losing in it at the end. You're woo.
Well, no,
that's what I read.
I'm a super competitive board gamer.
That's a verb.
Right. Yeah. But if I play something like Monopoly, I know who's winning. And I know who's winning the end of the game halfway through it.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, this person has that, unless they just stop.
Yeah.
People
are hoping, please let me land on Boardwalk. I just want to get out of here. Monopoly always sucks at
power. Power Grid has a great catch-up factor.
Yeah.
Because it punishes you for pulling ahead. So it's actually bad to be in the lead.
Yeah. That's another element, another aspect of the strategy.
Part of the strategy is to fall behind and leap ahead, at the right time. And timing that right, because if you time it too early,
you
give them time to jump ahead.
You're not
really, really good dynamic. And that's what I've heard. I'm just afraid my kids may not get into it as much as something like Small World. Because it's brighter.
Small World is
fun.
It's definitely... lighthearted. It has a nice cartoony.
You play
on the strategy
games?
Level.
You play all these games. All of them, all the time. Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico?
Oh, yeah. I'm in such massive debt because of it.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
It can be restructured.
Getting restructured right now?
Let's give the Puerto Rican community a break this week. They've had a rough time.
No.
Really?
No.
We'll just give them a break this week, though. The last 100 years, though.
No.
Well, let's go on to something else.
Sorry, I can't give the Puerto Ricans a break. Sorry.
It's talking about current events. We can move on. the whole Hispanic community.
The mass shooting
where 50 Hispanic people were.
I know about that. What's that got to do with Puerto Rico?
It was Puerto Rican night.
Yeah, and it was Puerto Rican night at the club.
Oh, okay. No clue. I didn't.
Yeah, sure.
I'm mad at Puerto Rico because they kicked the military base out, so that's my deal.
Well, anyway.
That
went over my head.
Small World is probably going to be the next game purchase.
It's a small world.
That's my only problem. But we still have to play all these other games more than just twice. It's like the kids play a game twice. Like, let's get a new game. We'll play. And I mean, we played the hell out of Ticket to Ride, man. You know, we play it three times in a night. Some nights,
I'm gonna kick you.
That game would, or that ride would be so much better if they gave you like three or four softballs before you got on the ride. Because there's all those spinning dummies, little dolls and stuff in there.
Yeah, but...
Never been there.
How horrible would that be? You're just sitting there, and somebody else comes with a wild pitch. Pop, pop.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I don't know what else happened.
Well,
you're talking about Origin.
Origin Game Fair, so I'm sure there's going to be... they haven't really started leaking the announcements.
It's this weekend.
It's this weekend starting, so... You know, all this game talk made me think about real games.
Real games.
I like video games too.
I used to.
I love video games. Especially the ones where I don't have to play with other people.
Like video activities, after a certain age, I really wanted other people to be involved too.
Certain age.
Yeah, and there's some games I can play multiplayer, other games I can't. Like, my kids will play Grand Theft Auto 5. Right, and I'm watching my son, and he's sitting on top of a building, and he's got a rocket launcher. I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm waiting on Jacob." And I'm like, "Who's Jacob's his cousin?" And I'm like, "Okay." And Jacob is coming with his friends to go rob this store. So my kid waits for them to rob the store, and then
blows
the rocket launcher to all of them, and then goes and takes the shit they just stole. And I'm like, "Okay, that's a game where if I was younger, I would have loved to have played that online." But then I go and play driving games online, like Forza Horizon, and I hate it. I hate it.
It depends on what
game. Because people are so much better than me. I think that's my problem. But you can't be better at waiting and rocket launching somebody. You can't be better at that.
Sure it is. You think that's what somebody's going to do and go, I'm not doing it.
So playing together is fun, but playing competitively together is not really as fun for me.
I mean, because
I'm not that good.
And even in the multiplayer games, you're still not developing social skills as well as you would.
Of course. Yeah. It's like a phone call.
Well, right. So it's still, to me, that has allowed video games to become more social, but they still disconnect us.
Anybody who's ever been a salesperson knows the difference between telemarketing and actually selling somebody something, and that's the difference you're talking about.
Here's the thing, though, with video games is I play them to get away from people.
Exactly.
I deal with assholes.
I play
all
Forza
day.
Horizon so I can ram into slow cars.
Yeah, exactly. So I play I play my video games to escape from people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to play a video game. Like, if I'm like, trying to get away from the assholes, I don't want to play a video game
that brings out the most asshole quality of everybody. Yes, exactly. You know what, you go to the internet, you go out to find out how many people your mom has slept with. That's why you play online games. You know? Because everybody you play with, F your mom. That's what they say. In one way or another, that's what they're saying. So, no. There's other games, though, like World of Warcraft. That was a fun game because you were actually playing with people and meeting end goals, you know, working with people. I like collaborative games. There's a game coming out, this was announced at E3, called For Honor. Split screen. Beat 'em up. All right, back in the day, we used to play GoldenEye. 4-player split screen on a 19-inch TV, and we loved every second of it.
I remember
now that we have 60-inch TVs, there are no split-screen games.
We did Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark.
Which was, now, of course, the GoldenEye sequel.
For all intents and purposes,
That was a fun one, when you could have, you know, 4 or 5 controllers without spending $300.
True. And, but this For Honor, it's kind of like Gauntlet, you know, but new, where you just run around and beat the shit out of people. But I cannot wait to play this game with my kid while he's sitting right there, and I'm sitting right here, and we can play the game together, not online. Split screen, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's so silly to me that split screen isn't more popular. Now that we actually have TVs where you can enjoy split screen.
Split screen's popular. They just want you to buy a whole other
two
system.
Copies.
Yeah,
and
they
two
want,
copies
they
of
want
the
you
game.
To buy two copies.
Yeah,
that's
they want to make
is.
Your friend be able to have to
exactly.
buy it.
Exactly. Because if I want to play the same game with somebody in the same room, they have to bring over
their console.
Xbox.
And we need two TVs.
And the two TVs.
Which I have done in my house.
I've done it too. Yeah. Yeah,
nothing
ooh.
Beats driving.
I've
when you're
done
back-to-back
a 16-player
driving,
Halo deathmatch on the Xbox.
Yeah, I haven't done that, but
and
we've
that
done,
was the
we've
four,
done two.
4-player split screen. You know, with 4 TVs.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it,
yeah.
You know, and it's great because
it's a party,
but it's also a
hassle. And it's it is. But the thing is, there's just something about being able to talk shit directly.
Oh, yeah.
That just can't replicate
I think that is part of the appeal of games like Super Smash Brothers, those kind of fighting games.
Oh, that's definitely
the appeal.
The
lack of I don't know, excitement over games like the new Tekken, the new Street Fighter, the new Mortal Kombat, because, you can play online. Great. It's just like playing the computer. It's exactly, you can't punch somebody who's next to
it's
you.
Like
you can't yell in their face.
It's like
you cheap bastard!
It's like playing the computer, but then the computer tells me that my mom
that my mom's fat. Yeah,
you know. Realistically,
that is exactly what multiplayer is. It's playing the computer. Only the Xbox tells me how good of a way my mom is.
There should be a patch. That way it will. I mean, I'm sure someone out there on the internet is writing that right now.
Dude, like
you can play this patch, and your computer's automatically going to tell you to go fuck
computer,
yourself.
But the computer has the voice of an 11-year-old, and for some reason that 11-year-old is having sex with my mom.
Awesome, like the
voice with an 11-year-old with the mouth of a sailor.
I've been online before, and I've been like, wait, are you? Mom! Mom! Start yelling. This dude's saying he's sleeping with you!
Where's my sandwich?
Sandwich! Meatloaf!
Oh, God.
But, man. So, we talked a lot about gaming. I'm glad. Because, there is definitely... games need to incorporate everybody and all experiences. And I think you were talking about Nintendo. As an innovator, they understood that. And even though they did innovate their motion, most of their games were not online. They were like, no, there is an experience to playing these games where if you're playing with somebody else in the same room, it's... Wii baseball sucks if you're playing by yourself. It's just stupid. But if somebody's pitching at you and you can go wham and then give them the finger right next to you, that's awesome. You can't give a digital finger.
Man, Wii boxing?
Dude!
You know, all you gotta do is take a 90-degree turn and you're in a real fight. Man,
we pre-ordered the Wii. I probably told the story before. We pre-ordered the Wii. I had it the first week. There were already stories on there, like, make sure people hold on and watch out because there's movement. I told the kids, it was my nephew Jacob and my son Cyrus, and I was like, alright guys, watch out. Very first swing, bam, Jacob hits my kid right in the lip. And he's like, I'm so sorry. And he wasn't so sorry because he was so sorry. He was so sorry. He's like, please don't ground me from your Wii. You just got this brand new. Please don't ground me. And I couldn't, you know, his lip just gushing blood. He's like, no, I'm all right. Holding his mouth. I'm good. Swinging.
I got it.
Spray blood all over the place. Yeah.
But they were playing.
Yeah, but they were playing, having a good time.
It wasn't a mean thing they did.
And that's the thing. That's what I think it brings you together, you know? And even if it is mean, it's still an experience together, over
if you can
internet,
get mean, you just...
Which,
yeah. You don't get nasty. How's that?
Yeah, sure. Nasty. And even if they do, to hell with them.
Well, yes,
I like
kids.
I've seen those kids get some crazy brawl moments, man.
Well, kids should.
They're playing Smash Brothers.
They should.
Yeah.
And even if they get to the point to where we all have our own personal hologram room, VR holodeck, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And I can interact with a holographic version of you that you're controlling.
What's the name
interacting
of that
movie? Even if it gets
book.
To that.
Surrogate. Yeah.
Surrogate. Bruce Willis.
There will always be
Robert Vendetti book.
Robert Vendetti, yes.
Dude,
I good
hate
call.
Robert Vendetti.
He was good on that.
He was good on that.
And the art was great on
he's
that.
He's good on that Show Metal War.
It's good. I might have it. I might be.
He's
I'll
really shitty on that.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, even that, there still will always be a something about a human interaction.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, I would hope so.
Doing it. Right back to the very beginning of the show. Doing it.
Well, before we get to that, did anybody see the World of Warcraft movie yet?
No, I have not seen the WoW movie. $10 million in the U.S., $195 in China. Really? Those Chinese people love their CG.
Oh,
Avatar did the same thing over there, man.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely a movie that was made with outside U.S. markets more in mind than U.S. markets.
Yeah. Well, the Asian market
really
loves the computer.
No. The Asian market is a dominating factor in movies.
Over the past 5 years.
What?
And I'll say it again.
I mean, it got
China spends more money going to the movies than
there's
we do.
A new IMAX theater opening in China every week.
Yeah. You were saying
this
that
year.
A couple
every
of weeks ago.
Week this year. Yeah. It's amazing. 10 of the largest cities
in
the
their
world.
Their economy
in China.
Is
booming.
Yeah. For the most part.
Well, relative.
Fourth of the world's
population. I was
going
to say, for the most part. Yeah, it is. I mean, they're just...
And if you look at the global economy, you got to look at everybody.
Disney, didn't they just open Disney World Shanghai?
They did, yeah. Shanghai.
And then there's another theme
park.
I think there's another theme park that's going to open. That's
probably.
And everything. I mean, they're just...
Say Disney World, Shanghai. Yeah.
The best part is when you go up on the roller
Shanghai
coaster
is nice.
And you go over the spark and you go back
to China. I instantly go to the Robin Williams Disney World in China skit. You know, he makes this joke about, oh, there's the Main Street, and there's seven Donald Ducks hanging up from the window. It's a hilarious bit.
Not when I went to Shanghai. Though.
Oh man!
Also, let's wrap this beyond the home eat.
Yeah. God bless Robin Williams wherever he may be.
No doubt.
That guy.
He was a funny, funny man.
Dude.
So, final thoughts, Irredeemable One.
I don't know if I have any to this week. There wasn't really anything but E3 going on. There wasn't any really big news. No big announcements. Check out all of our other podcasts. If you like podcasts, obviously you do.
What are our other podcasts?
Go to outrightgeekery.com/podcasts. And we have...
Instruments of Destruction.
Instruments of Destruction. That's all... Transformers.
We got something very special to talk about this week.
So, is there a podcast in the sky?
Huh? Podcast in Disguise. Okay. We have Geeks Log. It's like a review show for Star Trek. That's fun. That's me and Jules. We're out. We're doing them all by Stardate, in order by Stardate.
Like I said, I've been doing that too.
Nothing sounds less fun than Jules.
We have a great time on that. Even if it's just me and him, we have a great freaking time.
We just watched,
also have. There's a Valiant podcast up there.
What episode are y'all on?
We just finished. Oh, the next one we have to watch is Dear Doctor, or Doctor something. The first Phlox episode. It's easily the first great episode of Enterprise. It's so amazing. It's at its heart a pure Star Trek episode.
Are you on season one?
Yeah, we're still on season one, dude.
Oh, one a week, man.
It's one a week.
Oh, we passed you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good episode.
Dude, I've watched
really
every episode of TNG, and I've started DS9. I'm halfway through the first season of DS9 while we've been doing the Enterprise podcast. Yeah. I'm going to have to go watch TOS again.
Well, I'm watching them for the first time with the missus.
Yeah.
And we just watched the episode where it talks about the true first contact between Vulcans and...
In the Mirror Universe?
No. Talks about the Vulcan ship that crash landed in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a Ferengi ship.
No, that happened in Roswell.
That happened in Voyager.
This one wasn't known about.
They haven't had the Ferengis.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was. They visit Ferengi on Voyager, too. They find Ferengi who have
gone from a TNG episode.
But the one I'm talking about is from Enterprise.
Oh, I know that.
In the first series, chronologically. Right. But we also have a podcast dedicated to all things Get Valiant Comics. That's really cool. I don't know how they do it, but they end up talking for a whole hour, even if there's like one book out. Anyway.
They're into it.
There's another like roundtable sort of cast on there that it's a little bit more segmented than ours. Ours is more freestyle, you know. What else we got on there? Oh, we have This Geek in Comics.
What's the name of the other roundtable one?
CBI podcast. It's okay. Our partners at the comic book.
It's okay. Not. You know, our podcasts are just
they're
okay.
Just okay.
Getting better.
It's a little different than this one, you know, because we're like real freestyle here. We just talk about whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
They're more regimented and like have a plan and shit. Which,
what's that?
Yeah, what's a plan?
Well, this is
sounds
real.
Like a word.
This
is real. It's from the heart. Street. But yeah, we also have This Geek in Comics. That's every Friday, sometimes Sunday. Usually every Friday night we get that out. And that's our weekly comic book review podcast. All we do is review that week's comics.
DC and
Everything. We usually don't touch on the Transformers comics or on the Valiant comics because we have other shows that do that. But we push people to those shows. Kind of in the same way I'm pushing people to those shows.
Right now. Then you have an Outright Gaming podcast.
Oh, yeah, David does that, a.k.a. David. He has some trouble with the last one. He's doing those every couple few weeks where he sits down and just plays a game with some people. They've been really entertaining. The first one where they had the cards.
Yeah.
Night something.
No, Super Fight.
Super Fight. That was fun, but that was the most fun one. I think there's been three of those. The other two were not as cool. But Super Fight...
You're really selling these shows, man.
I would listen to them do Super Fight a lot. It was really fun just as a podcast. Hey, let's play. I want to do it on this. Let's just play Super Fight for a damn show. Because it was really fun. But it's an arguing sort of debate game. So that's kind of what made it fun. Adam, go. I'm hungry. I got to eat. My blood sugar's dropping. As we speak. I need a cigarette at least.
Okay. The true things come to that.
Region EC. Rebirth's been great so far.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can get your hands on it. It's apparently flying off the shelves fast.
Yeah.
Good news to praise DC.
Oh, yeah. It's really nice to actually talk good things about DC for once.
That's what I mean. It feels good to be able to talk good about them. It's not like we wanted to talk bad about them.
I love DC.
Did.
I don't want to shit on them.
They were just doing bad.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not going to talk good about you while you're putting shit out.
Yeah, if you're beating me, I'm not going to say, "Oh, he's just mad."
Unless that's your fetish, that's your thing.
Back again to the first.
Bring it to the circle.
Full circle. Man, I love that.
All right, Steve.
Steve, come on.
Mine is Godzilla coming out.
Oh, man.
The end of the year.
Godzilla Resurgence.
Yeah.
Resurgence. Oh, really? Yeah. Is there a video or anything out
there's
for it?
There's a trailer for
yeah,
it.
There's a trailer.
Damn it. What is going yeah. on Toho this outrightE3.com?
Toho Studios.
What the hell? We got nothing for E3. No Godzilla.
Well, Godzilla's sort of old news. The man. trailer dropped like a month or two ago.
Oh, well, I think we yeah. got it then. Yeah. Never mind.
But
I thought
Toho Studios.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was new. We didn't get any E3 coverage, so I'm pissed.
Larry?
I might do a list.
You were watching E3 all day long.
I know, and it just didn't
ride
in. He
was on
us to do it. He
it never occurred
it.
To
and
me.
He just talked about it for like an hour.
It never occurred to me to do any of the sort. I am not sure why.
On your geek-related side.
I just never occurred to me. And I was actually editing stuff while it was on. Like, oh, I'll wait for after this video. Let me go edit some reviews. And then, yeah, it never occurred to me, man. Even David, I think he was on a chat, and he was like, yeah, we didn't post any of it. And I was like, oh, shit, we didn't post. What the hell was I doing the whole time? Oh, well. I'll do a list next week.
Oh, oh boy, a list.
Better late than never. So, come on. This yeah, awkward my, quiet. Awkward pause well, there.
I was about to say, the big thing I'm looking forward to is Independence Day. I am a huge fan of the first movie.
It's the summer blockbuster season. Now, let it begin.
Yeah, so
it's June 24th.
That's what I was just looking at.
Yeah, you could have asked.
I did ask earlier.
Oh, my bad.
Answered.
That's my old lady's birthday.
I must have missed it.
I missed it, too. Happy birthday. So we're going to see Independence
so
Day.
So it sucks I'm going to have to go see a movie without her on her birthday.
Without her?
No. Oh. She probably would not want to go see that. She'd probably be like, really? If I said I wanted to go see it? Because I hate going to the movies. I love movies, but I hate going to the movies.
And that's one I want to see in IMAX.
Yeah,
3D.
It does look like one of those. That
I want shit to fly at me. I want somebody throwing rocks and rubble yeah. when stuff
I want Brent
up.
Spiner thrown at the screen. through the, yeah. yeah. I'm glad he's got work. I love him. He's one of the best actors. I mean, from TNG, Brent Spiner, easily the best actor in there. He did everything, and you never thought twice about it.
He pulled off dry humor very well.
But he was also played all these other ranges of characters.
Right, but I mean, he pulled off dry humor very well.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. And he was in the Ghost episodes,
TNG right now.
All right. Well, come check us out, as Gilmer mentioned, on OutrightGeekery.com, or you can find us on
no,
ComicCity2.com.
It's okay.
Things are getting better.
Sometimes.
Yeah. or find us in Madison at Comic City 2. Or Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, all that good jazz.
I just updated the MySpace page. So we're good there.
Excellent. And
what about the GeoCities page?
Hey, my MySpace page still has stuff on it.
I'm still friends with what's his name.
Oh, okay. Give me the thumbs up. Your, free demo mixtapes off of there.
No.
Yeah.
You can look at my college photography portfolio online.
Oh, that's cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
All right, you don't have an Instagram for that?
Insta what?
Thank you.